right now. Well, speaking of the arts and literary presence, we are thrilled to be joined on the telephone line by our friend Jen Shepherd of Penobscot Theater. Hello there, Jen.
Hi, Rich. How are you?
I am delightful. How are you this Monday afternoon?
Well, I'm delightful, too. Just hearing your voices cheered me right
now. Oh, shucks. Thank you. Thank you so much. Penobscot Theater doing such a wonderful, innovative season with a whole lot of cool things going on. And we're going to talk with one of the folks responsible in just a moment, and Robin Clifford Wood. But can you talk just briefly about what's going on, what people can enjoy here in the month of October?
Absolutely. Yeah, just in the month of October, we have three offerings. So we're giving a ghost tour of the Bangor Opera House led by Ben Lehman and joined by Reed Davis. This is also, that's happening through international Airbnb as well. So it's pretty exciting. We've had people from as far away as Japan visit for that tour. We're doing the Glitch Witch, which is our family offering. It's by Brittany Parker, and it's a wonderful, about a 45-minute long musical where you help a young witch named Wynn save New England. And then Ghost Postcards from Maine is our literary offering. We asked five writers to write different stories about haunted ghost towns, and the Neil Graham set in a whole music and sound effects to create an audio feast for your ears.
Wonderful. And one of those authors joins us, Robin Clifford Wood. Thank you for being with us.
My pleasure. Nice to be here.
Tell us about your contribution to Ghost Postcards from Maine and scare us a little bit.
Well, I'll do what I can. I would say my idea when I first heard from Penobscot Theater about writing a ghost story, this was a brand new endeavor for me. But the very first thing I thought of was a haunting that I've been experiencing for the last 15 years or so in a house on an island off the coast of Mount Desert Island, Maine, called Sutton Island. It's one of the Cranberries. And the house that my husband and I bought out there 20 years ago used to belong to Rachel Field, who was quite a renowned writer back in her day. And the spirit of Rachel Field hit me when we first walked into the place. And she, I would like to say she convinced me to write her biography, which took me about 10 years of stopping and starting. But she kept finding ways to nudge me back into the project. And the story I wrote actually began as a biography that Rachel Field wrote about a sea captain named Samuel Hadlock, who used to, who lived way back in the early 1800s on Great Cranberry Island. And she wrote this story, leaving out some of the gruesome details. I think she didn't know them all, but he was a showman, and he brought his artifacts from his seal hunting up in the Great North over to Europe and exhibited a bunch of, along with his artifacts, he also brought a living Inuit couple and a baby to show like zoo animals all over Europe. It was quite awful.
Wow. All right. Now, I'm thinking of ghost story settings, and Jen, you got to agree, could there be a better ghost story setting than an old house on an island off the coast of Maine?
Absolutely not. And many of the ghost stories actually start with exactly that. The number of abandoned homes in Maine makes for very rich territory for ghost stories.
Wow. So you had some actual ghostly experiences, Robin?
I would say that I have. But in fact, the focus of my ballad, and I wrote about Rachel Field. I'm going to make a plug because my first book is coming out next May, and it's about the life of Rachel Field and how she influenced me as a I call her a mentor from the dead, I suppose. But Samuel Hadlock actually taxidermied one of the Inuits that after they died when he was over in Europe, discovered in later years, and. And he also was led the expedition with, I think, 18 sailors from the Cranberry Isles area, and all of whom perished in the north because he wanted to go collect more seal pelts for his shows. And so I felt like there couldn't, and that was the worst loss of life in the Cranberries ever. So right. I felt like the Cranberry mm-hmm. Isles and Hadlock exploit were a great premise for setting off a ghost tale.
Wow. Mm-hmm. The book will be coming out on May 4th of 2021, The Field House, A Writer's Life, Lost and Found on an Island in Maine from She Writes Press. Well, it's so wonderful to have this, be part of this Ghost Postcards from Maine collection. Jen, what are some of the other ghost stories that are part of this?
Well, Sam Collier, who's in the Belfast area, she wrote a story about the Perkins Township, which is on Swan Island, not to be confused with Swan's Island, where there are several abandoned houses. Travis Baker wrote a story about Flagstaff, Maine, which is a town that is at the bottom of a lake currently. And Carrie Jones wrote a story about Bucksport and the Witch's Leg, the famous Witch's Leg on Captain Buck's tomb.
Oh, yes.
Of course. And Mike Kimball wrote a story about Madrid, Maine, and that's an abandoned town that used to be quite a hub for trains. But there's nothing left there except for ghosts.
And I've heard from those who've read it that Mike's story is incredibly creepy.
Yeah, it's so creepy. They all have their own brand of creepiness. And I think also Neil Graham did an incredible job of giving each story its own sound and its own feel. So it's really a unique experience. And then I wrote a sixth story that is, I call it the envelope, and it's kind of the thing that holds all the stories together about Riceville, which is a totally abandoned town that has been consumed by nature at this point.
Wow. We're talking with Jen Shepherd from Penobscot Theater and writer Robin Clifford Wood. Penobscot Theater's new season is underway and wonderful things in store. And you mentioned what's ahead here in the month of October and what some people have already enjoyed. For people who don't know, this is, a digital, all a virtual season. How does it work for people getting tickets and being able to watch these productions?
Absolutely. So we're offering two subscriptions, the main core subscription and the family style. And then we're also offering some sides, which are sort of boutique shows, specialty shows. And people can either buy a full subscription of five shows, or they can just pick and choose. As my dad called it, he called it the salad buffet approach. So salad bar approach. He just picked what he wanted. And shows, some of them are recorded, like Ghost Postcards from Maine or A Christmas Carol, and you can watch those anytime you'd like during their three-week run. But some of our shows, like Deck the Balls or Flying Solo or Matt Marcy Magic for New Year's Eve, those are live shows. So it'll be like a theater performance is coming to your house, and you will access them via a link that our box office will send, and it has a password. It's a specific link for each patron.
Wonderful. And speaking of Deck the Balls, that will feature you and the lovely and talented Lawrence Fingerhut, right?
Yes, he's so lovely and he's so talented. And also Mike Schreeman, who did A Kicking Your Dickens with us last year, he's going to come back in quarantine with us, and he'll be in Deck the Balls this year, which will actually be an homage to It's a Wonderful Life, but sort of the naughty, improvised version of that.
And how are things coming in finding talented pooches for dog operas?
I'm so glad you asked. We've already cast the first one, A Barker of Seville, and four lucky dogs were cast, and it is delightful to see the headshots. And actually, the artists are coming in this week to record the opera in the Opera House. And then we're still looking for, I think, a few pooches for dog Giovanni. I believe we just finished casting for Tosca DeBall, if I'm not mistaken.
You're looking for a tenor, sopranos?
A tenor, but like something a little more husky.
Oh. I didn't say, our Ginger's very feminine. I don't know if she could summon husky.
Oh, I think Ginger is just a star in waiting is what she is. I think Maxwell just got cast today. Ooh. Barry Newport's little.
Oh, he's adorable.
He is, yeah.
Ginger would have been better for silent films because she doesn't talk much, but a very expressive face.
Well, that's all we need. You know, the world, she could be the dog face that launched 1,000 operas, Rich.
Well, can't wait to see what's coming up here for Penobscot Theater. You can go, of course, to penobscottheater.org, get more information, get those passes to watch these wonderful shows coming up in this special season at Penobscot Theater. And I've told Barry this the other day. I've talked to so many people in the theater world who have heard about what Penobscot Theater is doing and are so excited and impressed with the season that you've all put together.
Oh, thank you. That's so nice to hear. I think it's pretty, you know, as they say, when nothing is possible, anything is possible. And that's kind of been our motto for this season is can't have people here. Well, we'll invite people from all over the world to join us online.
I love it. Jen, always good to talk with you, my friend. Thank you so much.
You too, Rich.
And Robin, wonderful to talk with you. We can't wait to see your part of Ghost Cards from Maine and to read the book when it comes out next spring.
Sounds great. Thank you, Rich.
Thank you, Robin Clifford Wood, Jen Shepherd, with us here on Downtown.